The holidays bring joy and cheer, but also crowded shopping centers. Luckily, Family Dollar can help with deals on all your holiday needs. This week, all toys $5 and up are buy one, get one 50% off. See store for details. Visit Family Dollar today.
All right, happy Monday. Welcome to this week's installment of the ROI of Why, your number one podcast that focuses on all things purpose and impact as it relates to business. This is Andrew Tuzon. I've got Angie Kubicek here with me as always.
Hello.
Sup? What's good?
Oh, you know, just we did a fire spring tour just now, and it's always super fun to kind of share how we operate with people.
Yes.
So it's always a cool activity in our day. And then people experience the slide.
Yeah.
And I literally heard like a woohoo. And that's really fun.
Yeah.
And then I think it's always funny to watch people's amazement that our team members actually use the slide to get from floor two to floor one.
It's practical as shit.
And
when I tell
so
people
practical.
That, you get kind of the head tilt. But then when you like walk them through why, you see it click.
Yeah.
And I also feel like I kind of take the slide for granted.
I love this.
You know what I mean? I know I love it too.
Yeah.
But it's like I don't know. It's just the slide to me now.
Yeah.
It's like, but that's the quickest way to get downstairs.
If you go to Omaha, where we have another office, we have a swirly slide, the turn one, the tornado slide, and that slide is a death trap.
I heard it hurts the hips.
And so I literally was there last week watching them do a tour where people were doing it from AAF in Omaha, and I was like, oh gosh, this is a human liability, I feel like. Oh my God, I'm like watching these grown men try and do this like swirly slide in the fetal position, and I was like, can you come to Lincoln? Because that slide functionally works a lot better.
It's,
but
yeah.
It does make, though, for very entertaining office Olympics. So.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So. Fire pole. I feel like that's the next one that we're going to lobby for.
Oh, I had a friend who had a house that had a fire pole in it.
I feel like that's not okay to talk about on the show.
But it literally went from floor two to floor one. It was his parents' house.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't just like floor to ceiling fire pole.
No, it wasn't like a bedroom fire pole.
Okay.
I like that we're not using what else is
called. The actual term.
Happy Monday, everyone.
Yeah, what just happened?
Right? Just really went down that rabbit hole. But hopefully, if you're doing your drive time on a Monday, you just perked up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
You're welcome in that sense as well.
It's our gift to you.
So. Yeah, you know, 'tis the season for the gifting.
It is that. So break us off on what we're doing today, Koobs.
So today, you know, we've talked a lot about purpose and did the Do More Good conference podcast, but something I wanted to talk about was, and I kind of leaned in after our last conversation about how we can each be responsible for kind of creating this change and this systematic change in the world. And so I wanted to talk a little bit more about 1% for the planet and how people can really get involved with that movement and what that framework, as Graham referred to it. Because it's one of those that's out there that is so easy to get involved, and you can do it either on a personal level or on a business level, and you can do it through volunteerism as well as through donations.
Mm-hmm.
So they are really malleable in how companies can get involved. And right now, I love this time of the year because it becomes so, well, if you turn off certain types of news, but it really becomes really powerful and positive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I would love to see continue in January, February, March, April, May, throughout the year, beyond just this 2 month of time where we all of a sudden decide to give a shit about our neighbor.
Right.
And I think the 1% for the planet movement is one of those ways people could truly demonstrate that.
So set the stage for us, right?
Yeah.
Before we start talking through it, like loose overview for our audience who has not worked through the Graham Pansing Brooks episode. Walk us through 1% for the planet. Basic overview.
So 1% for the planet really started kind of a handful of years ago when two businessmen, you know, one of them is the founder, you know, there was the Disney company that we had talked about, not that founder, but another one very similar called Patagonia. They're this really kind of killer outdoor company.
Yeah.
But the founder of that, Yvon Chouinard, and I totally apologize, I am not a French linguistic person, so I totally butchered your last name. And then Craig Matthews, who is the founder of Blue Ribbon Files, they kind of created this movement because they are outdoor enthusiasts and they were watching the trends that were happening. They love to go fly fishing and experience the outdoors. And then understanding where the environment is headed, immediately thought, we have to get involved. And so they made the immediate promise to their company, and because of what their company stood for, it was one of those very authentic purpose drives to say, hey, you know what, from now on, 1% of our profit is going to go to helping the environment. Mm-hmm. And they said, regardless of what kind of a year it was, if we're up a year or down a year, that is going to become a fixed cost for our company, and haven't looked back. And so since then, they've kind of shared this passion and this vision, and more people and companies and brands have decided to jump on board. And so it's kind of cool to see this evolution since, you know, the inception of it in 2002 to where it's at today, that they've raised, you know, over $250 million for environmental causes. And so they are very much so connected to having those funds then go to nonprofit organizations instead of like to a for-profit business. And the reason they chose the nonprofit sector is because then they can kind of like give back. But nonprofits tend to really be able to have this effect towards their mission in a way that businesses just can't do because of red tape or, you know, business is a business. At the end of the day, we have to make choices to make sure our business is still around tomorrow, where a nonprofit's business is their mission. So they fundamentally just fund nonprofits. And so now there's all these nonprofits throughout the world that are dedicated to making our environment better, which is phenomenal. And so that's kind of the back history of 1% for the planet. And I think as the evolution of it has gone on, they've really latched into this, like, it doesn't have to be exclusive. It doesn't have to be just for like the big companies. They want everyone to feel like they can get involved. And that's what I love about all the frameworks kind of connected in with the Do More Good movement, is that they all really take someone from where they're at and empower them to lift up and do more.
So you mentioned Patagonia, but what are maybe a few other examples of companies who are like really walking the walk as it relates to 1% for the planet?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting because it kind of goes a handful of different ways. So there's some companies that are out there doing it that they have dedicated their entire business. So I'm going to give 1% back for my entire company. And, you know, that's like Patagonia, right? Regardless of the subsidiary brand or offset company name, anything from that, you know, group is going to go to 1% for the planet. And that's where annual sales are going to that cause. And then you have brands out there that it's just like at the brand level that are giving back. So there's like Panda Puffs. It's like a cute little kid's food. And they just have that product line within the family of brands that are out there doing that because they may not be scaled for that type of impact yet. So, you know, those type of brands are out there just doing it on the next level down. And then you can go all the way then to like the product level. So there's like Honest Tea, right? That's just very specific to the tea is giving 1% back. And so that's a, it's a really cool way. So if you're a company that has diverse product lines or whatever, you can start at whatever level works for you. So it's pretty,
accessibility,
cool.
I think, is kind of a nice way to sum it up, right?
So, I mean, I think it's really cool, too, because if you go to 1% for the Planet's website, you can go and you can actually, like, find companies, like, in the agricultural space or to the clothing goods space, to hairdressers that are all committed to 1% for the Planet in your local communities some way or another. So it's a kind of a cool way to then, if you think about every time you make a purchase, you're voting for something. So if you mindfully choose to make purchases at places that align to your purpose statement and to your value system, then, that's a
conscious consumer behavior.
It is. And so then it takes it off of just the seats of those who run a business to do good. Now, as a consumer, you are empowered to make a vote.
Straight up.
And so they have a great website that help you find companies that identify with where you want to put your votes.
I wonder, I'm sure it depends on the market, the vertical, the location, geographically, whatever. But I can't help but wonder if, you know, you're in, I don't know, let's say Nashville. Is there a, like, 1% for the Planet Nashville, like, meetup or group where these companies are working together to scheme on how can we do more amazing shit? Or, like, what do you know the answer to that?
So, I don't know, like, Nashville specifically, but they do have member events every month for different states and regions or types of business. And so, they have a SWAT if you go to 1% fortheplanet.org, you can see all the member events they have coming up. But
I feel like we should go to one of those.
I know.
And
I kind of feel like that would be...
Talk to some people for the show.
Right?
Just putting that out there.
Yeah. Hey, one percenters, let us know. And the 1% for the planet way, not... I mean, I guess you could be the other 1%. I'm not. It's cool. Whatever.
Math stuff. It's
fine. You know, it's fine. But it's kind of cool. So for me, like, I use Biolage for my hair. They are 1% for the planet company. And that's... I didn't know that. But now I'm like, sweet. I will absolutely keep using Biolage. That's a great... insight to a giant manufacturer of hair goods, right? And so knowing that there are manufacturing groups or agricultural groups that are joining this means that if we can get enough people having that groundswell of how do we make our environments better, we can't undo history, but we can change projections.
So my brain is going to Spreetail right now. And I like math, right? So it's like the old double dip or compound effect there. Like
he did just like beautiful minds on a meeting yesterday, and I like kept hearing him like his fingers were moving,
audible
whispering
mumbling,
to himself as I'm like dialoguing with a client,
crazy
and then he's
stuff.
Like writing on the wall because we have that cool idea paint, and I was like, oh, I think I'm like watching a thing unwind. But yes, so I'm gonna probably witness that as he tells this story.
Oh no, it's not gonna be not gonna be that, because yesterday
that was money.
That was
real math
on a different level. It was weird. Anyway, no, the old double dip compounding effect, right? So like if Spreetail, who is an e-commerce platform who is giving back 10% of every purchase to the consumer's nonprofit of choice, is selling products and goods from a company who is already 1% for the planet, that 1% just grew.
Exactly.
If it's being granted through Spreetail, right? So it's like consumers not only can choose to engage with organizations who are committed for 1% for the planet, but if they also choose a vendor or a middleman like Spreetail,
right?
Like it compounds something fierce.
Yeah. And right? And then if like where I love where Spreetail is going, and I think there's going to be some refinement is, and that when everything starts working congruently, that's when the real change can happen. So the fact that they're picking their lanes and then pulling in the consumers, but I'm sure they'll continue to evolve that. So then that impact will continue to manifest out and affect more and more communities than it currently is. But going back to your Nashville example, I think it's pretty cool. So I, on 1% for the Planet, their website, I just went to Nashville and looked, and there are 648 companies in Nashville, Tennessee that are part of 1% for the Planet.
Cool.
Right? That's phenomenal. And so that means they're either giving back their time, giving back profits either from or the sales from a product brand or their entire enterprise. But the fact that there's that type of effort coming together in Nashville, Tennessee, that can truly change what's happening in that region of our country. And hopefully our entire country or globally. But that's a real movement. And I think that's totally inspiring. And I hope other communities can think about, okay, well, if I'm only one of 10 in my state, how can you advocate to get more 1% for
the planet? So that was going to be my next question, right? Is it's like, okay, to go back to our conscious consumer behaviors example, let's say that I'm a consumer who's like hella conscious about wanting to make sure that the products that I am buying are from a 1% for the planet company, because I want to make sure that my local community is there's, you know, there's organizations giving back to it, all the things. But let's say that there's a specific niche, vertical, whatever, that there is not an organization who is a 1% for the planet company participating in that space. Do they have like a way for consumers to make recommendations of companies or like industries that they want to see participation from? So then that's on the 1% for the planet's radar, and then they can try to make connections with that. Like, and again, this is just my ignorance at play, but that's just where my brain is going.
I don't think they're
right?
collecting that information from what I see, but they do have like a connection point. And I think if you go to... either like you can go on there and find your local events, you can attend. But if you become an individual member of 1% for the Planet, that's you saying that I'm going to either advise, which means promote 1% of the Planet. You could donate and you can join in. And so then you become that advocate for that movement. And so while there's not this like aggregate view that I can see from their website, but as a human, you become that. And so it's funny, Dustin and I were chatting earlier today. And I have this fundamental belief that everyone is the CEO of their life and their seat. So whether mm-hmm. you are the starting employee at a company and you're sitting as a coordinator, just doing what your boss tells you, you control the excellence of that output. Mm-hmm. And so you get to determine the things that you can control. And so then I say your boss is really your board of directors, and then their bosses, like they're all on your board of directors. And so you're the CEO running your own company of the seat you're in. Mm-hmm. So you can make that individual choice to become a member, and then you could start the groundswell to your network of friends, to the community you exist within. You could reach out to the people that you procure business to mm-hmm. say, hey, I think you should be a part of this. And a lot of times, people are already doing the thing and they don't even know that they could be a part of a greater conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think the more people we get raising their hands, the more it becomes a forefront of the conversation versus an unintentional outcome. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I think it kind of goes back to one of the most recent conversations we had about just humanizing it or having a real conversation, right? If you are the ambassador or the advocate on a personal level, and you then go have a real conversation with a business owner, an organization that you feel very passionately they should be a part of this, I feel like that kind of like real conversation is going to be far more impactful than like some drip marketing around it or something, right?
Right, totally. And then I think adding to that is I'm a big fan of like a vision boarding or like make a game plan for your own life. So mm-hmm. at the previous episode, we talked about having this balance. Mm-hmm. So I was always raised with the belief that you have X percent of your income fundamentally given to give back. Mm-hmm. You either give back to a local charity, to your church, wherever you worship or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If you're benefiting from those, you should be giving back, but then you are part of your community, so you should help support your community. Mm-hmm. And so what I like about 1% for the Planet is they help people scale into that as well. So if you're starting out and you're in student debt hell and they haven't offered for you to go to prison yet to wipe away your student debt, since that was a thing I saw the other day in the news, you know, it's like, here, why don't you volunteer so many hours and then donate this much, and that'll equate into a 1% of your life is given to the environment. And so I think as we become stewards of this social impact, we also have to live our own personal lives in this social impact way as well. And so what I appreciate about 1% for the Planet is they do a lot of that breakdown on here's how you can very easily get involved. Mm-hmm. And then over time, you can scale that up, but it grows with you, right? If it's always a fixed cost within your lifestyle, so you have to pay for your mortgage, mm-hmm. you have to pay for your electric bill, all of those things.
You're supposed to, but
in my mind, those are non-negotiables those of you who are just starting those elements. But this just becomes another one of those that you just assume is going to get baked. Mm-hmm, so,
line item on the budget.
Yeah. But then it's something that you can then say, I fundamentally believe in this. Mm-hmm. So then when you go and talk to a business, we talk about businesses and brands having authenticity. There we go. Mm-hmm. Tough word today. To their purpose and mission and vision. We have to have that same authenticity as humans.
Well, yeah, for sure.
So I think what I like about this individual aspect within 1% for the Planet is it builds that bridge for people.
Yeah. So based on your time with this movement, if there's an individual out there listening to the episode or a business owner out there listening to the conversation and they wanted to learn more or they wanted to get involved, like what is the most effective way for them to go down this rabbit hole or go start this journey?
I think the first thing I would do is I would go to 1percentfortheplanet.org, and you can go and they have a thing called community. And within mm-hmm. that dropdown, it shows what other business members are there and individual members. So you can find people within your space, or if you're pioneering your space, you'll know that. And then you can attend an event with another group and ask, like, how did you guys get started? Mm-hmm. Where did you begin? They have a team that you can reach out to. They have ambassadors. And then you can also identify their nonprofit partners. So you can kind of get that research and understanding and then activate out from there.
I like that.
They've just made it really scalable, which I like.
It sounds like it for sure, right? Like I've been around it by association, right? Like mm-hmm. our conversation with Graham, our time at the Do More Good Conference, you know, my role here at Firespring. But this is one of the, you know, trifecta, if you will, mm-hmm. that I've not really spent a ton of time with.
Yeah.
But it definitely sounds like the thing that's right up my alley. So shame on me for
It's totally up your alley, right? Because you literally became a vegan,
right?
Because of our environment. And that's the thing that's, there's these movements, and if we can get people in movements together, mm-hmm. you don't have to be like the front of the movement, but just being a part of it changes the way the conversation happens. I think the more we can get some consistency and message out there mm-hmm. versus right now, there's a lot of noise as it pertains to any type of movement. Mm-hmm. And we let a lot of, maybe they don't intend to have bad intent, but some opinions get out there mm-hmm. that because they're not fact-based or whatever, it skews the conversation to things that aren't about the issues.
Yeah.
And so what I think about, what I love about things like 1% for the Planet is let's focus on the issues mm-hmm. and how we solve those issues
yep.
versus the noise that's surrounding the issues.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, my personal opinion is I feel like we're letting the noise distract us from actually taking action.
Straight up.
And so movements like this are critical to the foundation of our future.
I could not agree more. And I feel like this is a good time to issue a challenge to the audience.
Ooh, yes.
If this is, whether this is your first time encountering 1% for the Planet or not, for anybody out there who is not a member on a personal basis or as an organization, if not a member of 1% for the Planet, if you listen to this episode and you go join 1% for the Planet, hit us up on social or send us a message through the website. Yeah. We want to know why you decided to join and what you're most excited for. And we want to be able to maybe have you come on the show for a few minutes to tell your story. Maybe it's something that we just share with the audience if you're not comfortable doing that. But I think that would be amazing for you to share what motivated you to do it.
Absolutely.
I think that'd be rad.
Yeah, I think the more we can hear what your starting point was from mm-hmm. our audience, that will help others get over theirs. Personal anecdote, my husband was going through some life challenges, and a Reddit thread was the thing that sparked him to mm-hmm. take some actions. And that has been one of the most inspiring things for him, was this like random anonymous Reddit thread mm-hmm. of group of users. And so I think, with this, sometimes people are afraid to put a stance out there mm-hmm. because we don't want the backlash from any sides of any fence to slap us in the face.
Yeah.
And I think with something like this, it's a really baseline way to start engaging, understanding how to engage in a conversation, and to keep it about the facts,
yeah.
which I think is really important right now.
I agree. Well, cool. I issued the challenge.
You did.
And we will see if any of you take
action.
We'll
be following up with y'all.
Yeah. Cool.
So very fun. What about, for you, we know the environment is a huge mm-hmm. motivator in your life. Mm-hmm. What are like some of the things that, you're talking about being a conscious consumer mm-hmm. of the world we're in, what are some of your go-to resources that you use to kind of help you stay true to your truth on like, how do I stay kind of connected to that path?
Man, that's a loaded question.
It is so loaded.
A lot of my trains of thought and beliefs are very much rooted in data and science. Mm-hmm. I love, Scientific America. I love, there's a lot of different science publications from around the globe that I spend a lot of time pouring through and revisiting as new papers are being released and whatnot. And there was a group of PhDs from Australia that they ran a lot of tests, did a bunch of like number crunching, all the things, because for the longest time the assumption was like, all right, when 2050 rolls around, we're screwed because we are abusing this planet, right? Mm-hmm. And then this group in Australia very recently like revisited all the math, ran all the scenarios, and they realized, oh no, it's actually 2030. If we don't like immediately make changes, and that number exponentially changes based on every day that we don't do a thing. And so that's really like what trick, because I was a vegetarian for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I went back to being a carnivore. And then I've always thought about like, okay, with my kids, there's moments where I'm like, I don't even know how to raise you right now in this scenario, because part of me wants to hit you with this life lesson to prepare you for what the world that I'm living in.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, like, I feel like that's dangerous because I'm projecting my reality onto them. Who the hell knows what right. kind of gnarly world or things that they're gonna be like. I'm literally at a loss sometimes for, like, I don't know how to prepare you for this. So here we go. I'm gonna try. And the intention
only
is good.
Good intentions and do what we can.
But when I read that article, like, I'd been flirting with the idea of mentally of just like going full vegan, going full rip, doing the thing. I read that article. I think it was like, I don't know, 5:30 on random day of the week, whatever. And went home, talked to my girlfriend, and the next day both of us were like, yep, this is it. And we just immediately did the thing. And she had also been considering that lifestyle change for quite some time, but that's like really what did it for us, right? Mm-hmm. Motivated it for us. So where do I go for, like, how do I stay true to that? A lot of it is right back to those kinds of sources, right?
Yeah.
I look at what's happening within our world, our planet, our environment, the, you know, civilization, societal things. And I really look at, okay, I'm just one dude and I know that, but I don't think I can look at it as I'm just one dude. I need to participate in doing what I can to mm-hmm. make sure that my kids have a world to live in, like legit just live in. So it's a lot of things like that that remind me of what's important. And then there's companies like Target, for example, who have not only identified it, but they are like behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the hardest things with becoming a vegan was reading all of the ingredients on the back of a thing. And it's not, and what was the biggest challenge, aside from giving up gummy bears, because shit, that was hard.
Oh.
There's vegan gummy bears and I actually like them better, but that's a separate thing. So I thought I was just like making a food choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I started, like, everything you buy, you have to pick it up, flip it over, read through all the things, Google 9 of them, because you're like, I don't know what the hell that is. That is animal. Okay, fine. But then I realized this applies to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it changed the deodorant that I buy, the shampoo that I buy, the toothpaste, like, it has the toilet paper, like, it has literally cascaded into every facet of my life. And I remember that was like the end of week one, and Shay and I were having dinner talking about it, and we were both like, holy shit, like, what have we done? This is overwhelming. And then we like took a step back and we thought, like, man, like, what's the best way to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So we're gonna take progressive steps towards living a lifestyle that is vegan, and it's been good.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think what I love about your story is, I'm sure there'll be moments of time where people get to experience Drew in the human-to-human context like I get to, but...
The weirdo?
I mean, I wasn't going to say that, but, you know, whatever.
Coops.
Yeah, you know, he takes it out there, but you live it very authentically, true to you, but... if you were to see Drew and I, well, if you go to any of our Instagrams or anything, we are probably the most polar opposite. He listens to death metal. I listen to like country kid music with my kids, Taylor Swift. We love her. But what I love about our interactions, especially on the show, is we talk about things like this that can be very polarizing conversations mm-hmm. because I come from a very different background of just like perspective on some things. But it's through this super respect level, right? Like mm-hmm. you can exist in this very different world and opinions. Like he's going to go eat tofurkey and I'm going to go eat the turkey.
Yeah.
But we respect each other and understand Straight where up. Each other's lives are at. And that's what I think is going to be the most, this is again my personal opinion, as we think about how do we engage people into 1% for the planet to move it forward, to make those true changes. Mm-hmm. It's having dialogues like this where... I can hear you and I can totally understand that it's validated. It's research-based, it's fact-based. It's mm-hmm. also, but it's your personal belief and you tell your story in a way that gets people to think like, oh my gosh, I might engage in that. Or do I want to follow through with that? And people might pick up a piece of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then that's creating that ripple effect of change, even though you're just one person. So yeah. I think that's great.
No, and I
think
I agree, like the way that
dedicated.
We can have those conversations, those kinds of exchanges, that's very, very, very important. And for me personally, I feel like where it gets muddy is when it becomes preachy.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I again, like I've said it a lot in the last few episodes, but like me projecting my assumptions onto another human is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And if I sit here and say, this is why you need to do this or believe this or mm-hmm. think this, that is not going to be a conducive conversation, right?
Right.
And so I actually am not vocal at all about being, like, there are very few people in Fires. There's 200 people here. There are, like, I can count them on a hand how many people know that I'm a vegan.
Well, now
they do. But, like, Jason, who I report to, our CTO, I mean, I've known him for a year today, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he,
happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. And he didn't even know until, like, a week ago. He's like, wait. Wait, what? And I was like, yeah, like, I don't really talk about
holiday
it.
Holiday ham order for.
Yeah, like, I don't talk about it unless it's the right situation.
Right.
Because I don't want it to be this, like, let me roll out this soapbox and here we go, right? Like, I feel like that's where it becomes part of the noise that you were talking about.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And so, and I think, again, 1% for the planet, going back to them, where they constructed their model so intentionally is they made it so anyone can almost identify to it, mm-hmm. and almost anyone can get involved. I don't care what end of the spectrum you're at. I don't think from a rancher to the most liberal of the liberal to the most conservative, wherever someone's at on a spectrum, mm-hmm. no one is going to say, I hate our environment.
Right.
I want it to fail. Well, maybe those who hate humans would. But outside of that, I think that would never be the outcome.
Right.
And so I think they've touched on that to try and make their mission really universally adaptable.
Yes.
And so I'm excited to see where this movement goes. They've already made a huge impact. And I'm just excited to hopefully hear stories about why people got connected or are involved with it so we can share those. So hopefully others can identify in with that.
Yeah. So make sure that if you guys decide that this is a thing that is intriguing to you or you feel compelled to do it, like, let us know. I think that'd be a lot of fun to just pick your brain on why.
Yeah.
You
know? It'd be amazing.
Cool.
Awesome.
This was fun.
It was fun. Always. It was a good day.
Cool. Everybody out there, make sure that you hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, like, just do the thing, hit us up on social, and we will see you guys next week for our next installment of the ROI of Why. And until then, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we'll catch you on the flip.
Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays bring joy and cheer, but also crowded shopping centers. Luckily, Family Dollar can help with deals on all your holiday needs. This week, all toys $5 and up are buy one, get one 50% off. See store for details. Visit Family Dollar today.
Is your cell phone bill out of control? Then this is your wake-up call. The new TracFone Wireless gives you unlimited talk and text starting at $20 a month, no contract, plus unlimited carryover data with active service. Yep, the new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control. See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.